The following program is intended for mature audiences.
They used to bounce messages across the earth. Shows. Everyone in the old world had a show. Do you think there's still somebody out there? Sending shows? Who knows? Those are the planes of silence.
Tavino Berry, live from Burbank, California.
Good evening, Americans and fans of democracies worldwide. This is Tom Savino, your special persecutor, here to take down the Trump train on Savino Veritas.
Savino Veritas.
Total fabrication.
The gripes of wrath.
You're listening to Savino Veritas in Wine the Truth, the fine wine of select gripes. The fine wine of select gripes in Wine the Truth, W-H-I-N-E. We got a lot to whine about. The fine wine of select gripes. And one of my gripes is that there's an attack on the truth, a big attack on the truth. And we look here at Savino Veritas for truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. At least we look for that. And we try to do that. And here's something true. A magazine that takes no advertising at all, that's been in print for quite a while, called The Sun. The Sun. And there is one page in The Sun called Sunbeams, which are quotations that they choose for that month's issue. And here are some quotations about truth. Dick Gregory said, "It is one thing to tell a lie and quite another thing to believe it. It is one thing to tell a lie and quite another thing to believe it." Dick Gregory. I think that is true. That's why I said it here on Savino Veritas. And if you are still a supporter of Donald Trump, I think you better search your heart, search your soul, search your mind, because you are buying into the value of lies over truth. Now, here is something. I was seeking the truth this afternoon, and to see if corporations are true or not. Are there any true corporations? I may have stumbled upon one. And here's a phone call that I had today with the Campbell's Soup Company, or the Campbell's Corporation. I guess it's no longer Campbell's Soup. It's just Campbell's. And this is an interesting phone call I had. I was trying to get to the truth about their GMO content.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards with a V for victory.
Hi, thank you for calling the Campbell V8 beverage line. For English, press 1. Our customer loyalty team will be happy to assist you. For quality assurance, this call may be monitored and recorded. Please hold on. We'll be right with you.
Will Campbell's tell the truth? Let's find out.
Hello, my name is Talia. Who do I have the pleasure of speaking to?
Hi, Talia. My name is Tom.
Today.
How you doing?
I wondered, I'm a regular customer of V8 juice.
All right.
You don't even know what you're talking about. Try getting it out. Go ahead.
And a couple of years ago, in a classroom setting, I was an English teacher at the time. And we were studying food products. We called Campbell's and asked about genetically modified ingredients. And I received a letter, this is a couple of years ago, a letter saying that in V8, there may or may not be genetically modified ingredients. But actually, I'm calling now because the president of your company said in January of 2016 that
Campbell's would label product that had genetically modified ingredients. And I notice on my V8 can, there's nothing says genetically modified. So I was wondering what happened.
You use your tongue prettier than a $20 whore.
So just so I understand the question correct, because you were cutting in and out a little bit as you were speaking.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
And I didn't want to interrupt because I knew you were speaking, even though it was cutting in and out.
Okay.
But
you complete me. And I just had...
Shut up. Just shut up. You had me at hello.
So you're wondering where our statement is regarding GMOs in our products?
Yes. I felt really good that the president said, the president of Campbell's,
bing, bing, bong, bing, bing, bong,
said you would label genetically modified ingredients. But I don't see a notification here on the V8, and I'm pretty sure the V8 has genetically modified ingredients.
If I may be so blunt, who gives a shit?
All right. I would absolutely be able to look at that for you. Would you mind letting me know what the barcode number is on the bottle that you have?
Yes. It's a can, and the barcode is...
Oh, it's a can?
It's okay. You still want the barcode, though, I guess, right?
You would need 3 promotions to get to be an asshole.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, please.
51000067.
Hello, Tom?
You had me at hello.
Yes.
Okay, so the numbers I was able to record, because again, it's cutting in and out, I was able to get the 51000006. You said 7?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful, thank you. And I do apologize for the...
Oh, well, I apologize.
Having to ask again.
It might be my phone, I don't know.
Okay, so... wasn't able to pull it up that way. Would you mind telling me the title of the printed on the can as well as the fluid ounce size so I could look it up manually?
It's V8 Low Sodium Original.
Okay. And what's the size of the can?
It is 5.5 ounces.
Wonderful. Did you purchase that in a 6-pack?
I did.
Okay, great, great. Found the one that we're looking for. Okay. And then also printed on the can, I will be needing the Best Buy date, as well as the numbers and letters that follow the Best Buy date.
Okay. It's July 13th, 2018-04137. There are numbers, and there are letters and numbers under that, too. You need that, or?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay.
My mistake.
CU40ZE. That's Z as in zebra. E 0739.
Excellent. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate it.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
You're welcome.
And for marketing purposes, would you be able to tell me where you bought the VH juice from?
No. No. Hell no. No. I refuse. No.
I bought it from a Ralph's Market, which they're part of Kroger's in Burbank. Burbank, California.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
Okay. So tell me you love me. Please, 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 please. Tell me, tell me, tell me. Oh, tell me, tell me.
So, let me see here. I know that on our plastic bottles, we label near the ingredient statement for the GMOs, that our products may partially be produced using GMOs, but I just want to be sure on this label here.
So on your bottles of V8, you do have that label?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh. We have the disclaimer on there, and then I'm looking at the label on the can right now for the can that you have, and yeah. Just be 1 second here.
Sure.
Yeah, it's Eastern Standard Time. Yeah, 9 to 7.
Yeah,
I always say,
like,
Windows 7:30, right?
All right, well, it doesn't appear. I'm not seeing it printed there, obviously, and so I'm looking at the same thing you are, and I just want to be sure on the front of the label here.
Okay.
Yeah, nothing. Okay, so... Would it be all right if I place you on a brief hold? I just want to go grab a physical can, because right now I'm looking at the label on my computer, and the print is really blurry.
Sure.
So would it be all right if I place you on a brief hold?
Sure, no problem.
Wonderful, thank you. I will
You're
be
welcome.
Right back.
Thank you. She wants to grab a can. That sounds kind of suggestive to me. But, there's a couple of cans I'd like to grab myself. Let's wait for her comment. I'm on hold.
I'm on hold.
I'm on hold.
I'm on hold.
I'm on
hold. I'm on hold. I'm on hold. I'm on hold.
I hope they're not recording this part of my conversation. So, kind of the better of hold music, I would say.
I'm on hold.
I'm
on hold. I'm on hold. I'm on
spent on hold.
Hello, Tom.
Hi.
You had me at hello.
Hi. Okay, so the reason why we can't find if, you know, the genetically modified disclaimer on the label is because we don't use GMOs in our juices.
Is this your final answer?
Oh.
But we do, yeah. But we do label on our soups and stuff if it is present in the product. But yeah, that would
okay.
be why we can't find it on there. And actually, I do have a really good resource that you could refer to for future, you know, questions such as these. If you have a computer at home, do you have a computer available to you?
I do.
Or?
You could tell me what it is, and I'll write it down.
Sure, definitely. It's called What's in myfood.com, and there's no punctuation or anything in that.
Okay.
But that is our personal website to just provide more information to you guys as the consumer about our products and what goes into the products. And it has really good information like what's included under the natural flavoring, what kind of vegetables we use, or where our tomatoes come from.
Okay.
Another, and it has all of our products, which also include our affiliated brands. So that would be Prego Italian sauces, the paste salsas is another one, Pepperidge Farm products, the cookies are also on there.
Oh, thank you very much. I do have, I do wish to ask you one clarification, because before you went away to research, you said that the bottles of V8 do have the label of GMOs. So I'm a little confused about that, because if the bottles have the label of GMOs and the cans don't, are only the cans don't have GMO and the bottles do, or?
Actually, Tom, and forgive me, I was totally mistaken about that.
Oh, my mistake.
I did go and look at one of the bottles we had available to us, and I did not find the disclaimer anywhere on there. But do know that we label for it on our soups, and actually I'm going to, there's one right by my desk so I can look at it right now. Just one second here.
Sure.
No, this one doesn't have the disclaimer either.
Oh, okay.
But I do know that all of our Pepperidge Farm products have that disclaimer on them, on the packaging up front. I'm going to look at another can here, see if... okay. Yeah, so if you wanted to find a product that had it printed on there, it would be immediately under the ingredient statement. And it, the can of soup that I'm looking at right now, it's printed in bold.
Okay.
And it would say something along the lines of partially produced with genetic engineering. And then it says for more information about GMO ingredients, visit whatsinmyfood.com, as I have directed you towards. But any of our products that contain GMOs would be stated under the ingredient statement.
Well, that's very good. I think I speak for millions of people to say appreciate that you are labeling them when they're there, and especially if you don't have them at all. I would maybe recommend that if you don't if you have products that don't have it, it might be even to your benefit, I think, to put does not contain GMO or non-GMO. That would even be good.
And I am including this with your feedback today. It'll just take me a moment to finish typing that up. Just one second, please.
Sure, no problem.
All right. Yeah, no, Tom, I'm totally in agreement with you on this one, actually, and I try and shop organic myself when it comes to the food that I cook at home.
Well, that's good.
I'm with you on that, and I will make sure to send this report in today as soon as our conversation is finished. I would also actually like to get some personal information, if that's all right with you.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, would you be able to provide me with your address today?
My address is Burbank, California.
Burbank, California, you said?
Yes, and it's 91506 zip code.
Excellent. Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
And actually, I would like to send you a complimentary coupon for your inquiry today. Is that something that you'd be interested in?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, great. Would I be able to get the spelling of your last name? I have your name as Tom for the first name.
Yes.
But I would like to know what your last name is as well.
My last name is Savino. It's S as in Sam, A, V as in Victor, I, N as in Nancy, O, Savino.
Excellent. Thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
So the coupon that I'm sending you will arrive in your mailbox in about 2 weeks. And I also have your reference number for our conversation today. Is that something you would like to record?
No!
Did you have any other questions or concerns or additional comments that you wanted me to include with the report that I filed today?
You may have already put it in there, but I do appreciate that you do label these things, and again, I appreciate it even more if you don't have them in the, if you don't have the GMOs in the products, but at least if you label them, it's very responsible for the public, and I appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much, and I'll be sure to pass your appreciation along. To the appropriate person who works here, okay, so that they can see that.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Mr. Savino, I thank you for your call today, and thank you for the compliments as well as your feedback, and I hope that you continue to enjoy this awesome week that we're having.
Oh, thank you. You too. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
As if this kleptocracy by Donald Trump couldn't be more polarizing. The commander in tweet names polarizing Sheriff Clark as the new head of Homeland Security. Let's just see how honest he is.
A Franklin woman is suing Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark and four deputies, accusing them of false arrest and much more. This is the latest development in a Fox 6 investigation that really got national attention.
Yeah, Fox 6 investigator Brian Polson has been trying for months to get answers from the sheriff. Tonight, right now, you're going to see what happened when he finally caught up with him.
Brian Paulson, Fox 6. Could I have just a minute to talk to you?
No, I'm really.
I'd like to talk to you about Deputy Joseph Keilis.
Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark has never been shy about speaking his mind in front of a television camera until now.
Could you give me just a minute, Sheriff?
No.
There's a lot of people who have questions.
I'm here to help seniors celebrate their day here, okay?
I understand.
It's an appropriate process for that. It's to go through my public information office.
We tried that 5 times, in fact, since February 28th. The 5th time, the public information officer wrote, the sheriff will not be doing an interview without explaining why.
She has responded. She may have not responded in the way that you liked it, but she did respond, okay?
Is there a reason that you don't want to talk about that incident?
The incident in question is a 2013 traffic crash outside Mitchell Airport. Deputy Joseph Keilis was on routine patrol when he rolled a stop sign and T-boned another driver. Tanya Weicker suffered a broken neck, but that's not all. Keilis' fellow deputies then arrested her for drunk driving, even though tests would later prove she was stone cold sober.
Ms. Weicker's constitutional rights were violated rather severely.
On Monday, Weicker stood next to Chicago attorney John Erickson as he announced the filing of a federal civil rights lawsuit against Deputy Keilis, 3 other deputies and supervisors, and Sheriff Clark.
The sheriff is responsible.
The lawsuit comes 2 months after our investigation showed Deputy Keilis blamed Weicker for the crash, then later changed his story.
Nothing further to say, sir.
Weicker admitted to having a few sips of a friend's drink that night, nothing more, but her injuries were too severe to perform field sobriety tests. Deputy Scott Griffin arrested her anyway and cited her for driving drunk.
I explained to him that my eyes are only red and glassy because I was crying.
Erickson says his client was treated like a criminal as she laid in a hospital bed in pain.
Had to ask for permission to use the washroom in front of a deputy that was keeping watch on her.
Video from an airport surveillance camera eventually proved that Deputy Keyless never stopped before turning onto Howell Avenue, as he claimed in his report. The sheriff's office knew about the video 2 days after the crash, but the drunk driving case continued for 10 months before a prosecutor finally declined to file formal charges.
A video that exonerated Ms. Weicker was sat on for months and months until the good work of Fox 6.
The lawsuit filed in federal court Monday accuses Sheriff Clark, Deputy Keyless, and three other deputies of engaging in a cover-up of Deputy Keyless's role in the crash. And it accuses the sheriff of having a de facto policy of concealing and suppressing officer misconduct through what the lawsuit terms a code of silence. After giving the sheriff months to sit down for an interview, we finally had no choice but to approach him at Serb Hall last month during Senior Fest.
Look, there's a courtesy that goes along with being a reporter. There's a professionalism. Apparently, you don't get it. Okay? This is an event to honor seniors, and that's why I'm here today, to give them their respect.
I understand, and I wanted to sit down.
Once again, I asked multiple times for a sit-down interview.
I can walk away now if we could sit down and do an interview. As we always have.
How you doing?
Hi.
How you doing?
I think you're in.
Once again, the sheriff declined.
But I just want to know if you believe the arrest of Tanya Weicker was appropriate under the circumstances.
He doesn't have to answer our questions, but he may have to answer the allegations now facing him in federal court.
When there's a bad apple or a bad administration, the light needs to be shined upon it, and they need to be called to answer for their conduct.
Brian Polson, Fox 6 Investigators.
Joseph Keyless has not returned to work since the crash. His attorney says his doctors consider him disabled and say he can't return to work, at least for a while. He has a pending disability claim before the county's employment retirement system that would make him eligible to disability for life. Again, Fox 6 News has been the first to bring you this story. Just go to our homepage, fox6now.com, or if you have the Fox 6 News app, you can check it out. We've included a link to Brian's original story, the Fox 6 investigation that broke this case. Also, as part of that story, you'll learn more about Weicker's injuries and more.
I shot the sheriff, but the spirit wasn't so deep.
Sheriff Clark now added to the insane array of Trump people. I say people, generously. Another crazy. Look at these people. Bannon, Miller, Sheriff Clark. Despicable. Hateful. Ire-inspiring, polarizing to say the least, this terrible, terrible administration I hope will soon be over.
The Los Angeles Times five-part series, Why Trump Lies, op-ed column. Here now is the fourth in the installment of five, Trump's War on Journalism. In Donald Trump's America, the mere act of reporting news unflattering to the president is held up as evidence of bias. Journalists are slandered as enemies of the people. Facts that contradict Trump's version of reality are dismissed as fake news. Reporters and their news organizations are pathetic, very dishonest, failing, and even in one memorable turn of a phrase, a pile of garbage, end quote. Trump is, of course, not the first president to whine about the news media or try to influence coverage. President George W. Bush saw the press as elitist and slick. President Obama's press operation tried to exclude Fox News reporters from interviews, blocked many officials from talking to journalists, and most troubling, but Trump being Trump, he has escalated the traditionally adversarial relationship in demagogic and potentially dangerous ways. Most presidents, irritated as they may have been, have continued to acknowledge, at least publicly, that an independent press plays an essential role in American democracy. They've recognized that while no news organization is perfect, honest reporting holds leaders and institutions accountable. That's why a free press was singled out for protection in the First Amendment, and why outspoken, unfettered journalism is considered a hallmark of a free country. Trump doesn't seem to buy it. On his very first day in office, he called journalists, quote, among the most dishonest human beings on earth, end quote. Since then, he has regularly condemned legitimate reporting as, quote, fake news, end quote. His administration has blocked mainstream news organizations, including the Times, the Los Angeles Times, from briefings, and his Secretary of State chose to travel to Asia without taking the press corps, breaking a longtime tradition. I have to insert a comment here, since this was written before the Trump-Russian meeting in the Oval Office that had TASS, the official Russian news organization, present, and zero United States news organizations. Zero. I'll continue. This may seem like bizarre behavior for a man who consumes the news in print and on television so voraciously, and who is in many ways a product of the media. He comes from reality TV, from talk radio with Howard Stern, from the gossip pages of the New York City tabloids, for whose columnists he was both a regular subject and a regular source. But Trump's strategy is pretty clear. By branding reporters as liars, he apparently hopes to discredit, disrupt, or bully into silence anyone who challenges his version of reality. By undermining trust in news organizations and delegitimizing journalism and muddling the facts so that Americans no longer know who to believe, he can deny and distract and help push his administration's far-fetched storyline. It's a cynical strategy with some creepy overtones. For instance, when he calls journalists enemies of the people, Trump, whether he knows it or not, echoes Joseph Stalin and other despots. But it's an effective strategy. Such attacks are politically expedient at a moment when trust in the news media is as low as it's ever been, according to Gallup. And they're especially resonant with Trump supporters, many of whom see journalists as part of the swamp that needs to be drained. Of course, we're not perfect. Some readers find news organizations too cynical. Others say we're too elitist. Some say we downplay important stories or miss them altogether. Conservatives often perceive an unshakable liberal bias in the media, while critics on the left see big corporate-owned media institutions like the Times as hopelessly centrist. To do the best possible job and to hold the confidence of the public in turbulent times requires constant self-examination and evaluation. Soul-searching moments, such as those that occurred after the New York Times was criticized for its coverage of the Bush administration and the Iraq War, or more recently, when the media failed to take Trump's candidacy seriously enough in the early days of his campaign, can help us do a better job for readers. Even if we're not faultless, the news media remain an essential component in the democratic process and should not be undermined by the president. Some critics have argued that if Trump is going to treat the news media like the opposition party, quote, the opposition party, a phrase his senior aide Steve Bannon has used, then journalists should start acting like opponents too. But that would be a mistake. The role of an institution like the Los Angeles Times or the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal or CNN, is to be independent and aggressive in pursuit of the truth, not to take sides. The editorial pages are the exception. Here we can and should express our opinions about Trump. But the news pages, which operate separately, should report intensively without prejudice, partiality, or partisanship. Given the very real dangers posed by this administration, we should be indefatigable in covering Trump, but shouldn't let his bullying attitude persuade us to be anything other than objective, fair, open-minded, and dogged. The fundamentals of journalism are more important than ever. With the President of the United States launching a direct assault on the integrity of the mainstream media, news organizations, including the Times, must be courageous in our reporting and resolute in our pursuit of the truth. This is the fourth in a series.
Howdy, y'all. Now, you know that I'm now the Attorney General, and I am the law. This here man here does not represent anything or anybody, just Bill. I'm sorry, sir. Now, luckily, we have many police here to keep these people in line. I expect to be treated more civilly when I came north. They will have to learn. You will have to learn. Now, back down when I was governor in Alabama, we had the hitching post. Now, the hitching post would fit you very well, man. It comes up to about here with horizontal bars. You got me all excited, sir. And what we do is tie up people like this for no more than 7 hours. And no food, no water, and no toilet. That was really something to see, no toilet. And what we do is if they spoke back to a person like me, well, then we get some nice heavy chains, heavy ones, 8 feet long. And with a short little fellow like this, he'd have to quite a lot of space to walk. 8 feet long, and, but you see, you Northerners, as you ruled this unconstitutional, well, your constitution no longer applies to me. I am the new constitution. And when we get really going, which we're doing every day, because you all, you Northerners, you love to sleep late, we're getting going every day. We're going to have better mandatory sentences immediately. Mandatory. Now, mandatory means no way out. All you watching today, put away your joint, because if I catch you, you're going away for a year from now on. That's nothing. A year, it goes like that, by the way, yeah. I saw these old fellas here being tied up for 2 years. They got over it. They came out. The next thing is we're going to have, now this may sound silly to people who are not entrepreneurs, but the whole basis of America is entrepreneurship. And when we sell a product, we don't want anybody stealing it, like Tampa's. I know that when Tampa...
You've called the Republican Party the most dangerous organization on earth.
In human history. There has never, it's an outrageous statement, and I, when I said it, I said, look, this is a very outrageous statement, but is it true?
But you're rating them worse than the Kim Jong-un of North Korea or ISIS, who are very...
Is ISIS dedicated to trying to destroy the prospects for organized human existence?
Right, is that bad, the Republican
Party?
Well,
what does it mean to say, not only we're not doing anything about climate change, but we're trying to accelerate the race to the precipice?
And you don't entertain the possibility that they may be genuine in their belief that this is...
Doesn't matter whether they genuinely believe it or not. But if the consequence of that is, let's use more fossil fuels, let's refuse to subsidize developing countries. If that's the consequence, that's extremely dangerous.
Remember the eighth grade? I do. Remember social studies? And I'm just a bill? Well, here now in the Trump America, we have a new reality, an alternative truth reality. And let's hear that I'm just a bill take truthfully now, the way things are.
I'm just a liar. Yes, I'm only a liar. I'm so untrue, I just want to cry. Well, I just
completely insane, but someday I'm gonna be a fact. Oh yes, I'll try and I'll try, but today I am still just a lie.
But if you're a lie, why do you want people to think you're true?
You see, kid, I make the president feel good about himself. And sometimes I can even help him sell his policies to voters.
Wow, you sound really important.
Yeah, but not unless people believe me. I'm just a lie. Yes, I'm only a lie. But I'm gonna be a fact by and by. See, first the president tweets, and his followers retweet me. They try to debunk me. All they do is repeat me. And across the internet I'll fly. That's how I'll spread far and wide. But today I am still just a lie.
That's horrible.
I know, but real facts are so depressing. Like, take climate change. If we believe that, we couldn't burn all that coal.
But we shouldn't burn it.
That's what you say. You see, not everybody has to believe a lie. Only enough to make me a debate. I'm just a lie, just a sweet little lie, and I'm too believable to deny. Pretty soon I'm being debated all over town. Kellyanne is spinning me, Spicer's my clown. Everybody here's taking sides, and the truth will lay down and die. 'Cause you can't tell a fact from a lie. And that's how it works.
I think I'm gonna be sick.
Don't worry, Trump Care is gonna be great. Bye.
Any kind of intelligence.
Carl, you've been involved in classified information. You are a Navy SEAL. You fought for this country. When you hear that that information is highly classified, has been handed over to Russian diplomats in the Oval Office, classified information that was so sensitive it hasn't even been widely seen within the U.S. government, let alone allies.
Right. So I've said it very quietly, listening to all this BS, quite frankly. And did you listen to anything McMaster said today where he said, I was in the room, that didn't happen, nothing inappropriate was shared? You're basing all these allegations off of one or maybe two sources, which CNN reports. Two former officials knowledgeable of the situation confirmed to CNN that the main points of the story. Two former officials. Tell you what, come out, name those people, then we'll have something to talk about.
One, we protect sources. Two, it's not just CNN. It's Washington Post, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, CNN,
who?
ABC,
yeah, but who,
NBC.
Who are the sources?
Carl.
Who are the sources? Oh, because they're hiding behind this in anonymity.
Oh, please.
And that's what we're seeing.
Do not even start with me that you're just going to attack sources.
Okay. So
that
what
is
about,
ridiculous.
So are you saying McMaster is lying?
I'm not saying McMaster is
are
lying.
You?
Well, he didn't really answer the question.
He didn't answer
he
the question.
He said nothing inappropriate.
He said, no, that's his opinion.
That would be.
But that's his opinion. You cannot attack.
Yeah.
Do not attack the stellar reporters of CNN who have their sources and would protect
stellar reporters of CNN that I am going to attack right now and say, guess what? I don't believe them because they're staying anonymous. If they are that, if they stand behind this story, come out, face the camera.
Can I just say something?
All I've been doing is facing the camera, Carl.
The people who are in that room?
We have anonymous sources. We protect them for real reasons. So the information that is important to the public
can get out.
So did
Watergate not happen? I mean, those were anonymous sources. Is that not a real story?
I'm saying that there's
so anytime there's been an anonymous source, but seriously, so Watergate, just it was all a lie because it was an anonymous source.
It was a trial.
Right.
Yeah. Girl, you're embarrassing yourself. You're really,
really?
You're embarrassing yourself.
I do.
Do you believe in raising taxes on the wealthy?
I do. I do, including myself. I do.
Do you believe in raising taxes on the wealthy?
I do. I do, including myself. I do.
Do you believe in raising taxes on the wealthy?
I do. I do, including myself. I do.
Do you believe in raising taxes on the wealthy?
I do. I do, including myself. I do.
Do you believe in raising taxes on the wealthy?
I do. I do, including myself. I do.
Do you believe in raising taxes on the wealthy?
I do. I do, including myself. I do.
Do you believe in raising taxes on the wealthy?
I do. I do, including myself. I do.
Do you believe in raising taxes on the wealthy?
I do. I do, including myself. I do.
Do you believe in raising taxes on the wealthy?
I do. I do, including myself. I do.
after.
Do you believe in raising taxes on the wealthy?
I do. I do, including myself. I do.
Do you believe in raising taxes on the wealthy?
I do. I do, including myself. I do.
Do you believe in raising taxes on the wealthy?
I do. I do, including myself. I do.
Do you believe in raising taxes on the wealthy?
I do. I do, including myself. I do.
Do you believe in raising taxes on the wealthy?
I do. I do, including myself. I do.
Do you believe in raising taxes on the wealthy?
I do. I do, including myself. I do.
Do you believe in raising taxes on the wealthy?
I do. I do, including myself. I do.
Do you believe in raising taxes on the wealthy?
I do. I do, including myself. I do.
Do you believe in raising taxes on the wealthy?
I do. I do, including myself. I do.
Do you believe in raising taxes on the wealthy?
I do. I do, including myself. I do.
Do you believe in raising taxes on the wealthy?
I do. I do, including myself. I do.
Do you believe in raising taxes on the wealthy?
I do. I do, including myself. I do.
Do you believe in raising taxes on the wealthy?
I do. I do, including myself. I do.
The Trump White House was on the defensive today after news that then-President Obama warned Trump not to hire his first national security advisor, Michael Flynn. Meanwhile, Republicans were dealing with the fallout from their unpopular health care bill. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Before we get to health care, there was, as usual, another major story developing today with the Trump administration. This time it had to do with Trump's disgraced former national security advisor, Michael Flynn, who had secret contacts with the Russian ambassador and whose irrational behavior caused concern among national security experts on both sides. Today, we found out that Trump had been warned about hiring Flynn by President Obama himself.
It was President Obama who warned then-President-elect Trump on November 10th. You'll remember that 90-minute Oval Office meeting that they had here at the White House 2 days after President Trump was elected. Then-President Obama warned the president-elect not to hire Michael Flynn, to stay away from the retired general.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me that Trump ignored Obama's warnings during that meeting. Just look at Trump's body language right after it finished. He looks like a high schooler who just got dressed down by the principal. Young man, I think you need to start hanging out with a better class of people.
But I think you're fake news. What was that? Nothing.
Now, Obama had some experience with Flynn because Flynn worked for Obama as the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency until Obama fired him in 2014. And yet, despite Obama's warnings, Trump has been trying for weeks to pin this whole thing on Obama, as he did in a recent interview with Fox News.
Just remember, he was approved by the Obama administration at the highest level. And when they say we didn't vet, well, Obama, I guess, didn't vet. If somebody's approved at the absolute highest level by the Obama or a previous administration, I mean, does anybody ever ask about them?
Does anybody ever ask about them? If they did, here's how that conversation would go. Hey, Obama, why didn't you fire Flynn? I did. Why didn't you warn Trump about Flynn? I did. Wait, where are you going? Maui, mother... Best of luck with it all. So, the blame Obama defense doesn't make sense, which may be why Trump administration officials moved on to an even more ridiculous defense. They thought Obama was joking. According to NBC News, a Trump administration official said Obama's remark seemed like it was made in jest. You know, I knew we'd eventually pay the price for having a president that was as funny as Obama because someone dumb would think he was joking about something serious. Oh, my God, Obama, so funny. Told me Mike Flynn couldn't be trusted. I was dying. Then he said, no, stop laughing. I'm serious, Trump. I fired him for a reason. And I said, stop it. I'm seriously going to pee my pants. But while Trump was dealing with the Flynn situation, Republicans in Congress were dealing with the fallout of their massively unpopular health care bill. After passing the bill on Thursday, Republicans spent the weekend in their home districts meeting with constituents. And those meetings did not go well.
The fight and the fury mounting over the House health care bill.
Just days after passing a new health care bill in the House, some congressmen are getting a hostile reaction at home.
These are human beings. We have bodies, we have lives.
You're a fraud, you're a phony, and your days are limited.
You're mandating people on Medicare.
American.
No, no one wants anybody to die. You know, that line is so indefensible. Nobody dies because they don't have access to health care.
Nobody dies because they don't have access to health care? That's like saying nobody dies from falling out a window. It's the pavement that gets you. In fact, Republican members of Congress have mostly been at a loss to try to defend this bill in any serious way. As a reporter found when he tried to ask one GOP congressman why he voted for the bill and found that he had nothing.
How do you know this is going to be right, given that there is no CBO analysis to exactly say how many people lose coverage and the impact that this would have on the economy?
I know we're doing the right thing.
But how?
I know.
Oh, great. So now our elected representatives are voting for bills the same way gambling addicts pick horses. I've got a good feeling about this one. Come on, Gimpy Joe! Part of the reason GOP members of Congress are having so much trouble defending this bill is that many of them openly admit they have not read it. And when they aren't admitting it, they're dodging the question, as a reporter found when he asked members of Congress in the Capitol last week.
Congressman, have you read the bill?
Concerned about voting on this message.
Congressman, have you read the health care bill? Morning, Congressman. Have you had time to read the health care bill?
We're still working on it.
And gentlemen, have you read this bill, Congressman? No, Congressman, have you read the bill?
No, we're in a hurry. We'll be back.
Congressman, have you read the health care bill?
Man, that reporter couldn't have gotten dodged any harder if he had a clipboard and a Greenpeace t-shirt. No, I can't right now. I hate whales. Sorry. Then there was South Carolina Congressman Mark Sanford, who danced around the question of whether he read the entire bill.
Did you read this entire bill?
I wouldn't say every, yes. I turned through every page.
I bet you're a lot of fun in book club. I thought this was a real page turner in that I turned every page. I like how page 77 was between 76 and 78. And when they're not admitting they didn't read the bill, Republicans are openly trashing it. Like Congressman Mario Diaz-Balart, who voted for the bill, but said after the vote, this bill is highly imperfect. Imperfect, okay? There's no doubt about that. Is this bill good? No, I don't like it. You voted for it and you're saying that. What were your wedding vows like? Was she my first choice? No, sir, never said she was. Is she highly imperfect? You bet she is. Is she happy to be here? I doubt it, she hates me too. So to recap, many Republicans admit they didn't read the bill. There was no updated Congressional Budget Office analysis before the vote. And a major new amendment that got the bill over the finish line was made public less than 24 hours before the vote. Of course, this rush process is exactly what Republicans claim to hate about the Obamacare process in 2009, including Paul Ryan, as we showed you last week. Back then, Ryan claimed to hate exactly what he's doing now, including to Obama's face.
I don't think we should pass bills that we haven't read, that we don't know what they cost. If you rush this thing through before anybody even knows what it is, that's not good democracy. Speaker Pelosi is trying to jam her bill through as fast as possible. I think this is less about health care policy and more about ideology. This is not bipartisan. We all want to fix this, but we don't think that this is the answer to the solution, and all of the analysis we get proves that point. Now, I'll just simply say this, and I respectfully disagree with the vice president.
Look at Obama's face. True story, that's the exact moment his hair turned gray. Now this is also a true story. After we aired that segment last week, we here at Late Night actually got an email from Speaker Ryan's office taking issue with our analysis of the health care bill and the rush process. And unlike Republicans and their health care bill, we actually read the whole email. But this is great because we genuinely appreciate the engagement and would love to have Speaker Ryan on the show. Suffice to say, we don't agree with the email, and we thought it'd be helpful if we took a second to respond to some of their claims point by point. For example, they took issue with our characterization that the bill was rushed, writing, "This bill has been online for a month, went through four House committees, and the only change this week was a simple three-page amendment," which is misleading for a number of reasons. For one thing, that three-page amendment is the reason a lot of Republicans changed their minds and voted for this bill. So you can't claim it's a small change. A lot can happen in three pages. That's like saying, "I made you a cappuccino with hot water, sugar, espresso, and one other ingredient." You would say, "Well, what's the other ingredient, Mr. Cosby?" Also, you don't have to take my word for it that the bill was rushed. Just listen to Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, who said, "Any bill that has been posted less than 24 hours, going to be debated 3 or 4 hours, not scored, needs to be viewed with suspicion. Like y'all, I'm still waiting to see if it's a boy or a girl." But come on, it's a Republican health care bill. It's not a girl. The Speaker's office also took issue with our claim that this bill literally takes from the poor and gives to the rich by cutting taxes on the wealthy, while simultaneously cutting $880 billion from Medicaid. They responded that the bill does not only cut taxes on wealthier Americans. The bill repeals all of Obamacare's taxes. And sure, there are other taxes in Obamacare, like the mandate penalty and a tax on medical device manufacturers. That's true. But Obamacare is funded largely by taxes on wages and investments of people making over $200,000 a year. And under the GOP plan, those people will get a giant tax cut.
Wealthy Americans are set to get a sizable tax break under the GOP's health care bill, and the ultra-wealthy will see an even bigger tax cut. Some of those in the top 1% of incomes will get a tax break of around $33,000.
Wow.
Those in the top 0.1% will get an average tax cut of about $197,000 under the GOP plan.
The 400 wealthiest households in America, because of this tax cut, will see annual tax cuts of $7 million per household.
$7 million. So basically, Donald Trump is giving himself a giant tax cut. Money I assume he will use to buy even longer ties. We also told you last week the Republicans had made the bill even worse by adding a new provision that allows states to waive out of Obamacare's ban on pre-existing conditions. Now, the Speaker's office claims states can only waive the ban on pre-existing conditions if they set up what are known as high-risk pools, which are basically separate insurance plans for older and sicker people. But historically, those high-risk pools have provided worse coverage and much higher costs. And on top of that, some Republicans don't even seem to know how the high-risk pools work in the first place. For example, Texas Congressman Joe Barton claimed that high-risk pools had worked in the state of Maine, and when he was fact-checked on CNN, he had to admit he didn't know what he was talking about.
What Maine did, they didn't put high-risk people into a high-risk pool. They used the high-risk pool to subsidize the premium of high-risk people that were in a regular pool.
Congressman, actually, what the state of Maine did, and I'm fascinated to know if you're willing to do this, is they assessed everyone. I mean, they put a tax on everyone, $4 a month, to pay for that. That was their funding mechanism. Are you willing to support a tax to do that, to put more money in these pools for high-risk individuals, for those with pre-existing conditions?
The plan that we're going to vote on today doesn't have any taxes in it.
I know, but I'm saying to you, you're pointing to Maine as an example. You're saying Maine worked, so this will work, and I'm telling our viewers, Maine worked because of the tax. Are you willing to support a tax to make it work?
I don't know all there is to know about the Maine plan.
Then why did you bring it up? It worked in Maine. Actually, it didn't. So, well, stop asking me about Maine. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm from Texas. The bottom line is this. Republicans rushed this bill through for ideological reasons, despite the fact that every analysis shows it would cut taxes for the wealthy, raise premiums for older, sicker people, and kick millions off insurance. If they really wanted to solve our health care problems, they could start by looking, for example, to other countries like Australia, which has universal single-payer health care that insures everyone for a fraction of the cost. In fact, when he met with the Australian Prime Minister last week, Trump basically seemed to admit, out of nowhere, that their single-payer system was better than our system. The best part, though, is the reaction of Bernie Sanders when he saw the clip for the first time.
It's going to be fantastic health care. Right now, Obamacare is failing. We have a failing health care. I shouldn't say this to our great gentleman and my friend from Australia, because you have better health care than we do.
They do have universal health care. I know. I thought you would.
Okay. Wait a minute, Chris. All right. The president has just said it.
I haven't seen Bernie laugh that hard. Bernie hasn't laughed that hard since the public bus he was on drove through a puddle and sprayed a millionaire and a billionaire. This has been a closer look.
Said, those who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities. This is Tom Savino with Savino Veritas saying thank you for joining us. Be with us again next Thursday and every Thursday and 24/7 at the Too Cool for School website, juicedtalk.com. Remember, I may be joking, but I'm never kidding.
is adjourned. Oh, I am sorry, sir. I didn't mean to overstep my bounds. You say that.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
No, you say that, Governor.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
The end.
By George, he's got it. It is the end.
No, that'll be all. Just be sure to lock the door behind you on your way out. Good night.